Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. I came across an editorial in the Sun-Times from a very talented writer, Mr. Jack Spadafora. We've read his works before. From Park Ridge, always has something very interesting to say. His little essays entitled, or editorials entitled, Summer, A Time to Leave Worries Behind. Jack writes, I remember a huckleberry friend of my youth once telling me, summer is what life ought to be. He was telling me this from atop a tree. I couldn't quite climb with him. As a matter of fact, I couldn't quite do a lot of things starting every June, and so I used to have a tough time agreeing with his assessment of summer. Now, considerably older and a tad wiser, I've come to see it his way. Spring is rich with promise. Fall is glorious with color, and winter has the magic of its holy days and holidays. But summer, the earth bursts with life. The trees and gardens explode with aromas, and the planting fields groan heavy with the gifts of God. Waking up on a summer morning, seeing and smelling all this, it's hard not to feel just a bit eternal. Then going to sleep, listening and relishing the magic of cricket choruses singing to fat white moons, it's hard not to believe in forever. My friend of the treetops instinctively seems to have already understood all this. Back then, I seemed to have missed all this. I did it by focusing more on the pressures instead of the pleasures of summer. You know, guys are supposed to build Brad Pitt bodies, sprint down lakefront trails, excel at games, win girls' hearts during vacation romances. Oh, I still listen and notice the lean and beautiful people out there, but I have come to realize that the good old summertime is far more than an agenda to be met. It is that lazy, hazy season each year during which you really don't have to try so hard. Winning races and romances are not a requirement, simply an invitation. If they end, well, good. If they don't, summer always has another new day waiting for you. So, whether you're pumping iron or watching your carbs, whether you're a wannabe idol or the next makeover, relax a little. Take a long, sweet look at our summer and let it make you feel good about who you are, just as you are. However, don't wait as long as I did to learn this from Jack Spadafora. Summer is that lazy, hazy season during which you really don't have to try that hard. True. Well, we're in the midst of summer, certainly. And we shouldn't be trying too hard, that's right, because the weather certainly makes us feel that way. Of course, today I would like to wish everyone a happy Bastille Day. Of course, a very great French holiday. In France, Bastille Day is celebrated as a national holiday, with joyous cries of Vive la France to mark the storming of the Bastille in Paris on July 14, 1789. The historic People's Revolt was the first step to establishing a republican government, wildly cheered by French commoners who claimed an historic first in France's long royal history. The people of Paris, fearful that they and their representatives would be attacked by the royal military and seeking to gain ammunition and gunpowder for the general populace, stormed the Bastille, a fortress prison in Paris which had often held people jailed on the basis of letters of cachet, which were arbitrary royal indictments that could not be appealed. Besides holding a large cache of ammunition and gunpowder, The Bastille had been known for holding political prisoners whose writings had displeased the royal government, and was thus a symbol of the absolutism of the monarchy. As it happened, at the time of the siege in July 1789, there were only 7 inmates, none of great political significance. Quite remarkable, only 7 people in the Bastille that day. When the crowd, eventually reinforced by mutinous French guards, proved a fair match for the fort's defenders, Governor Delaunay, the commander of the Bastille, capitulated and opened the gates to avoid a mutual massacre. However, possibly because of a misunderstanding, fighting resumed. 98 attackers and just 1 defender died in the actual fighting, but in the aftermath, Delaunay and 7 other defenders were killed, as was the mayor, Jacques de Flesselles. The storming of the Bastille was more important as a rallying point and symbolic act of rebellion than a practical act of defiance. Shortly after the storming of the Bastille, on August 4th, feudalism was abolished, and on August 26th, the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen proclaimed. So something came of it. Today, July 14th, remains a great excuse to plaster the walls with French travel posters, serve up great food, learn at least a few French travel phrases, sing a few verses of the French national anthem, La Marseillaise, and break out the French champagne. So that's today for Bastille Day, July 14th. Wish everyone a very happy Bastille Day. Not necessarily a big celebration as it is in France, of course, and I'm sure Independence Day isn't one in France either, but certainly all the great French restaurants celebrate Kiki's, and certainly Mon Ami Gabi, and all the great French restaurants celebrate and have some wonderful food and entertainment. Of course, we have Chicago's French Market, which is down in the near north side and just a little bit on the west side of the Loop, and it's a great place to celebrate and get some great French food. Compared to some of the other markets that are in and around the nation, San Francisco has the Ferry Building and the Embarcadero. And Seattle has Pike Place Market. Cleveland's West Side Market. New York has Grand Central Market and Grand Central Station. Very nice place. But we have our own, the French Market. Chicago's French Market down in the train station. So if you have the opportunity, get down there, get a little French cheer, and certainly a little bit of champagne, only appropriate for the day. Of course, a great day, as it will be if you're not eating French food, to barbecue. Of course, we all know about barbecuing. There's a great series that I don't know much about. It has all different topics, and this one's about barbecue. And, of course, we just had 4th of July, but everybody's gathering for a barbecue. But first, let's get this straight. What many people call barbecuing is really grilling, cooking over high direct heat. To purists, barbecue means to slow cook tough cuts of meat over wood or coals, not gas. Okay, so if you got a gas grill, you're not being the proper way. Usually with smoke. One basic requirement, baste the meat as it cooks with a spicy sauce, also known as barbecue sauce. Kenneth Davis writes, of course, this series, Don't Know Much About History. And he asks some questions and wonder what the answers are. First question is, the word barbecue comes from the French barbe à queue, meaning whiskers to tail. Well, that's false. Probably false. While some experts favor the French derivative, it's widely thought to come from barbacoa, which is a word adapted by the Spanish from the Taino, a Caribbean tribe, who smoked meat on a stick frame. Interesting. Barbecued beef was invented by cowboys in the late 1800s, which is true. One popular theory, cowpokes, who received the worst cuts of meat to eat, learned that leaving it to cook for a few hours did the trick. Made it a little more tender. Henry Ford and Thomas Edison invented the charcoal briquette. That's true. Ford created the briquette using wood scraps and sawdust from his factory with Edison's help. The barbecue capital of the world is Lexington, North Carolina. Well, it's for all of us to decide. Lexington says so. Some say Plano, Texas. Some say Santa Maria, California. Many others say Kansas City, Missouri. And some say we do pretty well here in Chicago. Finally, the colonists in Jamestown, Virginia, barbecued. Well, that's true. Adapting an Indian method, colonists used a pit to cook pork. Interesting. Goes back a few years. Now, we have some grilling tips from Homer Simpson. Of course, no one loves eating more than Fox TV stalwart Homer Simpson. To celebrate the great American pastime of grilling outdoors, we asked Springfield's main man to tell us how he makes his backyard event special. There's a caution here, though. Don't try these at home. Number one, to make grilled food taste terrific, my secret ingredient is beer. Add 72 ounces to the stomach, then cook. I also find that a half pound of meat really wakes up a veggie burger. Number two, to keep the bugs from biting, I move everything indoors and barbecue in the house. It also makes the kids nice and sleepy. Homer also likes to kebab skewers handy for unwanted guests, like my annoying neighbor Ned Flanders, and I don't use them for the kebabs. Grill up some vegetables for the vegetarians in your life, like my daughter Lisa. It's easy, but remember, no matter how you do it, vegetables don't taste very good. And give your backyard get-together a theme. The guests will love it. My favorites have been the quadruple bypass anniversary party and the Great Flanders Smokeout. And what's the best thing to do with leftovers from the grill? Leftovers? Never heard of them. Never heard of them. We have to admit that it hasn't been that bad mosquito-wise out, and because of the fact that we have no rain. But some of them are out a little bit, and some ideas for mosquito abatement. Use Bounce fabric softener sheets. Best thing ever used in Louisiana. Just wipe on and go. Great for babies. Bob, a fisherman, takes one vitamin B1 tablet a day, April through October. He said it works. He was right. Hasn't had a mosquito bite in 33 years. Try it. Everyone he has talked to into trying works too. If you eat bananas, the mosquitoes like you. Something about the banana oil as your body processes it. Stop eating bananas for the summer and the mosquitoes will be much less interested. This is interesting. One of the best insect repellents someone found who is in the woods every day is Vicks Vapor Rub. Or you could plant marigolds around the yard. The flowers give off a smell that bugs do not like, so plant some in that garden also to help ward off bugs without using insecticides. Tough guy Marines who spend a great deal of time camping out say that the very best mosquito repellent you can use is Avon Skin So Soft bath oil mixed about a half and half with alcohol. I've heard that before. That's supposed to be pretty good. One of the best natural insect repellents that I've discovered is made from the clear, real vanilla. This is the pure vanilla that is sold in Mexico. It works great for mosquitoes and ticks. And when all else fails, get a frog. Because they very much like to eat the mosquitoes. Oh, we got a very special guest on our show today. Well, all our guests are very special, but our very special guest today is Andrea Markovici, who's going to be in town. Comes in every year and performs at Davenport's. So we thought we'd showcase her newest CD. Not even out yet. So we're honored to be able to play that. And two songs together, which she does so very well. A duet, If I Had You and If Had to Be You, written by Ted Shapiro and Jimmy Campbell. So just sit back and relax and listen to one of the great cabaret artists, Andrea Markovici. Her newest CD, Smile, will be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Somehow it just seemed wrong until I met you, and then, dear, I knew to me you must belong. I could show the world how to smile, I could be glad. Could change the gray skies to blue if I had you. never mind. I could start my life all anew if I had you. I could climb the snow-capped mountains, sail the mighty ocean wide. I could cross the burning desert if I had you by my side. I could be a king, dear, nothing I couldn't do if I had you. It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be me. Be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. Nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be. Be you, wonderful you. It had to be you.
From Andrea Markovici's newest to-be-hit single and CD, Smile, If I Had You and It Had to Be You, we're back on the Kevin Moore Show. One of the fun things about hosting my radio show is having the opportunity of making the acquaintance of some very interesting, talented, and fascinating people. And my next very special guest is just such a person. She is an award-winning entertainer who has spoken to us through her music and performances worldwide. We are all familiar with her work because the songs that she has sung have become standards that speak to each of us and just simply touch our hearts. She's an award-winning cabaret vocalist who, as Life magazine writes, is one of the finest practitioners of the intimate art of cabaret. Andrea has performed at such nationally well-known clubs as the Oak Room at the Algonquin Hotel in New York, Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, and the White House. She is the recipient of the Mabel Mercer Foundation's prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award and the Backstage Bistro Award. In addition, Andrea is also an award-winning and nationally recognized star of stage, screen, and television. She has appeared numerous times, hit Broadway shows, and such popular television series as Sybil, Hill Street Blues, Magnum P.I., and Trapper John M.D. Her latest film is the just-released independent feature film, Irene in Time. The woman whose distinctive vocal virtuosity has personified the essence of excellence in entertainment and song. Called the greatest cabaret star of her generation by the International Herald Tribune, star of screen, stage, concert, and recording star, Andrea Margovici will be making a special concert appearance at Chicago's premier venue for music, Davenport's, 1383 North Milwaukee in Chicago. The five special performances will take place Wednesday, July 18th through Sunday, July 22nd. Due to the high demand, reservations are recommended by calling 773-278-1830 or visiting davenportspianobar.com. This will give Chicago audiences a unique opportunity to experience the magic that Markovici weaves with the audiences in an intimate setting. Joined by her acclaimed music director and pianist, Shelley Markham, and Jim Cox on bass, Andrea will be previewing her new show, Smile, before she brings it to New York City. It's both an honor and a pleasure to welcome Andrea Markovici. Welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hey there. Thank you for that introduction.
Well, I certainly...
Like I could go home early now.
Very sincere and certainly congratulations. You're coming back to Chicago. We all miss you here, you know.
I love it there. Is it hot enough for me? I don't know.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, you know, we were hot last week, kiddo, and it's supposed to warm up when you get here, but
okay.
you make everything hot.
I
but,
like it.
Yeah, that's right.
Curl.
That's right. That's right. And a great show and a new CD, which we're showcasing today, Andrea. Smile. What a great selection of songs.
Thank you. I'm really, really excited about it. And even though the CD doesn't actually come out until September 4th, I've kind of squirreled away a few copies of it in my luggage. It's going to be available in the front room of Davenport's after the show. So people in Chicago will be able to have the CD in their hot little hands long before anyone else in the country will.
Well, I'm glad I'm the first one to be able to put it on the air, and that's terrific.
Yeah,
because
it hasn't been heard at all except for you right this second.
Well, that's terrific, and certainly great composer. What was the idea behind Harold Arlen and George Gershwin and Irving Berlin and Harry Warren and so many great composers and writers? What was your idea behind it?
The idea behind the show and the CD was that over the last couple of years of performing during this rather difficult time in our country, I just noticed that audiences seemed uniquely down.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed very difficult to entertain. They seemed a little glum.
Really, yeah.
And they seemed resistant to too many sad songs. Way back in the 1970s when I started, you know, you actually went out of your way to make people miserable. I started at a time when cabaret was almost more Brechtian. It was a little mm-hmm. bit more Germanic, and you really tried to find the saddest songs you could to make people cry. And now I feel like people really need a lift. They just want to feel more positive about life, and they need to be distracted from their troubles.
Well, I think
about a year ago I decided, what if I did songs, literally, that I have noticed over the years, or if I gather songs that I absolutely know are going to make people smile mm-hmm. from the get-go.
Right.
Songs that you just know are going to bring some warmth into their hearts and some positivity and some sense of hope. So it started with that idea, like Life is Just a Bowl of Cherries and Paper Moon and Ain't We Got Fun, and Are You Having Any Fun, and positive things, or songs that have the word smile in them. I mean,
mm-hmm.
not that this gets too redundant, because it really doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
But a hopefulness, an attitude about life that just says, come on, let's raise ourselves up by our bootstraps and realize that we've always gone through times like this, but we've always risen above.
Mm-hmm.
And it became, first of all, a show I started working on a year ago. And then it became a workshop at the Gardenia, and people loved the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I wasn't going to record this, but now I will.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided, what are the instruments that make people smile? Well, banjo. Well, accordion. I mean, a lot of people give the accordion a bum rap, but the truth is, you can't not smile when you hear an accordion.
True. That's true. People equate the accordion with happy moments, weddings and so forth, and
yes,
why not?
Exactly. Right. Or yeah. going to Paris and
right.
hearing it on a street corner.
Right.
And I mean, you know, it's just, I wanted to bring this lightness back, and because we're going to get through all of this rough time. We always do. It's America, for heaven's sakes.
People come to see Andrea Markovici no matter what she's saying, and they leave feeling good, and they're
yeah.
feeling good during the show. So
yeah.
really, whatever you're saying, people are going to love it, Andrea.
Well, I mean, mean, I'm blessed with audiences that are very loyal and very supportive, and we always have a good time because I'm pretty goofy. I'm pretty goofy. But I have been known as a torch singer throughout my career, and that is still in the show. There's a couple of moments in the show, one of the ones that you just played, that are about putting your happiness in the hands of another. There's a very interesting section, "It all depends on you, and I can be happy, I can be sad." You know, that notion of what do you do if your whole happiness depends on another person, which is very, very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that section, which is a little sadder. And then this fascinating song I found called "Glitter in the Air," which I wouldn't have known had I not had my daughter Alice, and a section of about children and mm-hmm. how can you be happy if they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So the show is a little deeper than just, oh, let's be happy, because that's not going to work.
Now, of course, you're coming into Davenport's. How do you prepare for a show like this? Do you rehearse with Shelley on a daily basis, or how do you?
Shelley and I get together usually once a week, no matter what, so that I keep in shape. When I arrive at in Chicago, thank goodness I have a place to stay. Thank you to George Middlemass, who has given us housing on and off throughout the years, and also Mr. Batterson has been very kind, Len and Sharon Batterson. But we arrive. I'm going to teach a private class, because I also do a little bit of teaching in Chicago. We'll rehearse all afternoon on Tuesday, and then we'll rehearse in the afternoon of Wednesday, and take the stage on Wednesday night. You've got an absolutely great crew over at Davenport's that'll help me get it up and running. The show has quite a few props and various things like that.
Good.
And Ty Zimmer often puts up a sort of display near the stage, and he likes to do things like that too. So whatever happens, it always gets done.
You know, sometimes in our own lives, we find that our circumstances kind of color what we do or how we act, and I would imagine your performances reflect that too, especially when you're singing a song that's of special significance to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of speak to the audience that way. It's a very intimate kind of interchange, a very intimate setting, of course, Davenport's and all the places you play, but especially Davenport's here in Chicago. It's got to be special because you have that instant validation or gratification from the audience where you got that connectivity there.
Well, you're surrounded by people at Davenport's, more so than many clubs. You know, you're so close to the front row that if you run out of water on the stage, you can usually use the water at the front table.
Or a cocktail, right.
And I've always had a great give and take with the audiences there. You know, I remember having a man who was dressed completely like a cowboy off to my left and just having so much fun with him, you know, just asking him whether his horse was parked outside or not. And it's more intimate in that respect than many of the other rooms. It's not quite as formal as some of the other rooms that I might play. The Algonquin had more formality to it, a little bit more distance to the front table. But now I'm moving on to the Carlisle because the Algonquin has been closed, more's the pity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm moving on to the Carlisle. But the Carlisle is very close to the front table, too. So you never know whose lap I'm going to fall into, whether it's the Davenport's or the Carlisle.
Well, it lends itself to, though, your style, because you are very personal with the audience. And
very,
I think that's so very important, because then it becomes the time we're sitting in a venue like Davenport's with a friend, and that friend is singing up there and just sharing her talents with all of us.
Absolutely, and I think that's what cabaret is all about. For cabaret artists, there should be no fourth wall. You should definitely be singing right to people, and they should feel very connected. And I've always felt that way with my audience. I've always felt that we really are, you know, in the evening together, and that's why I came to notice that people seemed a little sadder than usual, and they needed to have their spirits picked right back up again.
Well, you certainly.
And then they can road rage their way home.
Yeah, if they can find a parking space. That's right. That's right. That's right.
You know, they can get their anger out again, maybe, but you know, not during this show.
Who are some of the people you looked up to, or mentors, or people that kind of guided you, or you looked up to from the standpoint of saying, you know, this is somebody that I like their style. I like to kind of pattern myself, do it my own way, but kind of tweak a little bit here and there.
Well, I was, you know, influence, of course, many people know this. My mother was a singer, so I had a great deal of influence there. But when I was growing up, I was listening to Judy Garland, Edith Piaf, and Charles Aznavour. I loved some of the older, really the older singers, Helen Morgan, mm-hmm. and Libby Holman, and some of the great torch singers from long ago. Now the list is practically endless because of YouTube. You know, you can
sure.
see anybody from long ago, Annette Hanshaw, and you can see Helen Kane or any of the really goofy, wonderful
yeah.
people on YouTube. I still adore Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
It just never got any better than Frank Sinatra.
Sure.
And I think it's because he wore his heart on his sleeve. And he was willing to be a male torch singer.
Were you able to meet some of these people personally?
I met Frank Sinatra.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. I was on a bill with him when the Motion Picture Academy Arts and Sciences did uh-huh. a tribute to Jimmy Van Heusen, who was a great friend of his. And
sure.
I was actually on the same stage.
Uh-huh. Wow. Wow.
With him.
Wow.
And Bob Hope.
Oh, boy.
And Donald O'Connor.
Wow.
And Angie Dickinson. Oh, my Lord. Oh, and everybody, Marilyn and Alan Bergman, and there was everybody who was anybody, and I was a puppy. I had been at the Gardenia for quite a few years, and I was establishing quite a reputation
mm-hmm.
as the new up-and-coming girl, and I tremble to think of it. I got to shake his hand. I mean, and I was solicited to sing whatever song he chose not to sing that evening, because he would not tell them what he was going to do, and he showed up at the very last second.
Sure.
And when he did, there was kind of a loudspeaker saying, "Everybody sit down, Frank is here." It was craziness. It was madness. But he was there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm just at that generation that I can say I shook Cary Grant's hand,
mm.
I've shaken Fred Astaire's hand.
Wow.
I have, you know, I've been near these people. I can't say I know them. I'm not that generation.
Sure, sure.
No, I'm too young for that.
Well, you mentioned a name, Ellen and Marilyn Bergman. I had the opportunity of dedicating a show to them and a while back. And what two delightful people. And it's amazing
now,
because...
them I know very well.
Oh, there's just...
I can say that those... They I know very well. They've been generous to me beyond belief.
Oh, great people.
As they are to everyone, by the way.
And they wrote about most everything, I think. I mean, they wrote everything. I mean,
thank God not the kids, you know, ink.
Yeah, right. And I was sitting talking.
Although there are a lot of rhymes with ink, I think.
And I'm talking to Mrs. Bergman. I said, well, Mrs. Bergman, where do you write the songs with Mr. Bergman and so forth? And he says, well, Kevin, I'm sitting right in the kitchen right now, and this is where we do it. I said, really? I said, yeah. And he said, the next time you're in L.A., please come by and have a cup of coffee. And I thought, good Lord, is that simple?
He would have meant it, too.
Oh, yeah.
He would have absolutely meant it. They have one of the most beautiful homes in Los Angeles. And they have a huge upstairs, kind of an attic-shaped room, which is their office together.
Mm-hmm.
And massive couches and oversized chairs and ceilings that are slanted with... some wonderful, you know, windows, slanted windows,
mm-hmm.
and skylights. It is the most encouraging atmosphere for creativity.
Mm. And they certainly are creative.
Oh, it's the truth. It's heaven.
We are just absolutely excited about you coming to Chicago and spending a week here. I wish you'd do it more than once a year, of course, but, you
I
know.
I would like to, too. Mm-hmm. And for your listeners, so you are so kind to put some of the music on. They will be able to get it. They can sign up and get it in advance, probably not right this second, but soon, by going to www.markovici.com.
Beautiful.
They can find out about the coming events, but I don't want to... titillate your listeners without them knowing how to get the CD.
Well, they're going to listen to a lot of songs. They're going to listen to a lot of songs from the CD on our show today. There are certain songs that will always lift your spirits. For over 25 years, Andrea has watched her audiences thrill to some of the great American songbook's most beloved songs. The ones where they burst into smiles and the ones where they reach across the table to hold hands. I want to make the show about bringing people together, says Andrea. Highlights, you make me feel so young. Life is just a bowl of cherries. Ain't we got fun? It had to be you. It's only a paper moon. And, of course, the title tune, Smile. Called the greatest cabaret star of her generation by the International Herald Tribune, star of screen, stage, concert, and recording star Andrea Markovici, who will be making a special concert appearance at Chicago's premier venue for music, Davenport's, 1383 North Milwaukee in Chicago. The five special performances will take place Wednesday, July 18th through Sunday, July 22nd. Due to the high demand, reservations are recommended by calling 773-278-1830 or visiting davenportspianobar.com. This will give Chicago audiences a unique opportunity to experience the magic that Markovici weaves with audiences in an intimate setting. Well, Andrea, as I said before, it's been a pleasure to spend some time chatting with you, and from myself and all our listeners and your fans, thank you for sharing your unique talents with all of us, and just always a delight to have you on, kiddo.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you, and I'll see you there, right?
Look forward to it next week at Davenport's.
Tonight, aren't you?
Absolutely.
You're going to introduce me.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's just going to be fabulous. Thank you.
Safe travels, my dear. Safe travel. Thank you, and safe travels, and we'll look forward to seeing you this week.
Okay, great.
Thank you, dear.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Andrea Markovici, one of the greatest cabaret stars of her generation, and certainly a very talented lady. She will be at Davenport's, 1383 North Milwaukee, Wednesday, July 18th through Saturday, July 21st at 8 o'clock, and Sunday, July 22nd at 7. For information, 773-278-1830 or visit davenportspianobar.com. We're going to go back to her CD, Smile, and play that song written by Charlie Chaplin, Smile. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Andrea Mar- Markovici. It was a delight chatting with her from Smile, her newest CD, Charlie Chaplin song. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Drury Lane Theater, 100 Drury Lane, presents the Tony Award-winning Broadway and West End smash hit, The 39 Steps, running through August 26th. Based on the 1915 novel by John Buchan, the father of the spy novel, and the 1935 Alfred Hitchcock film, The 39 Steps is a fast-paced comedy thriller that introduced the man-on-the-run genre to Hollywood. Adapted for the stage by Patrick Barlow, the production is the winner of two 2008 Tony Awards, a 2008 Drama Desk Award for Unique Theatrical Experience, and the 2007 Olivier Award for Best Comedy. A wonderful triumph of theater, and the most entertaining show on Broadway, says the New York Post. Set in England and Scotland in 1935, The 39 Steps is the riveting story of Richard Hannay, who inadvertently embarks on a chaotic adventure full of narrow escapes after trying to help a female spy. When he wakes up to find her dead in his apartment, he flees from the police and an espionage organization, desperately seeking and trying to discover the truth and clear his name. Featuring four actors that bring more than 140 characters to life throughout the play, the whirlwind story requires ingenious theatrical devices to instantly transport audiences to a chase scene on a train, to a plane crash, to a luxurious Scottish manor, then to a London flat, and on to the London Palladium. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning star of stage, screen, and television, who has appeared on Broadway, at Lincoln Center with Madison Repertory and the Peninsula Players. Locally, David has been seen on the stages of Steppenwolf, Chicago Shakespeare, The Goodman, Marriott Lincolnshire, and the Writers' Theater. Multiple Jeff Award nominee, teacher, mentor, proud graduate of DePaul's Theater School, and now directing the Tony Award-winning Broadway smash hit, The 39 Steps, at Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook through August 26th. Mr. David New. David, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you, and congratulations on a great success, 39 Steps, as everybody loves this.
Well, thanks. We open tonight, so we've just had our final preview, and we're really looking forward to getting into the run.
You know, it was a great hit on Broadway, and you see it revived in a lot of different instances. And what better place than Drury Lane, who is a location and a venue that's become one of the great theaters in the Chicagoland area?
It's true. You know, it's hugely popular. I mean, it began in the West End and then on Broadway, but it's now performed all over the world. And it's kind of a producer's dream because it's a small cast, but a really popular show and one that audiences just go crazy for. So we're having a lot of fun with it.
You got to have a really talented cast to four people with 140-plus characters.
You have to have four incredibly masterful actors with great stamina who don't mind losing a little weight over the course of the run because they just don't stop once it starts. There are over 140 characters on stage, and there are four actors.
Well, tell us a little bit about it. I know I can't do it justice the way you can, but give us a little overview of it.
Well, here's the basic premise, is that we're in a theater, and it's 1935, and four actors decide to reenact the Alfred Hitchcock film, scene by scene, line by line, only with things that they can find backstage. So there are sort of prop doors and tables and windows and, you know, cars are invented, trains are put together up from steamer trunks on stage. So the audience gets to enjoy seeing how the actors are going to, you know, reenact a chase across the top of a train or a man hanging from a bridge. You know, how do you do that with some ladders and some trunks and some planks and some doors? So in addition to the, you know, it being a terrific story about a man who's on the run, not only from the bad guys, but also from the good guys. The police are after him as well. So the storytelling is, I think, part of the fun of it. How are these actors possibly going to accomplish this? And they do, and they do it masterfully.
Now, here's a loaded question I have for you. Mm. You enjoy directing it. Would you like to perform in it?
You know what? Apart from the weight loss, no.
Okay.
You know, honestly, one of the things that I'm just really enjoying now is sort of working with actors, but working more on my storytelling as a director. So I certainly enjoyed my years as an actor, but I'm really enjoying sort of being in charge of the storytelling now and working with such incredibly talented actors as the four that I've got in this production.
Is that a natural transition for an actor, David, to someday want to direct their own play, theater, music, whatever?
Yeah, it certainly was for me, Kevin. I think I've worked with so many great directors over the years that I've learned a tremendous amount about storytelling. And you know, there was just a certain point where I thought, well, gosh, I want to, you know, I take a go at being in charge of the storytelling rather than being part of the story. So yeah, I think it's a pretty natural progression. I think I'll return to acting in my old age. You know.
Well, you know, you have, again, this is a very unique type of play. You have a minimum of actors, but you have a lot of sets and you have a lot of accoutrements that go with that. And when you're doing this in a night in and night out basis, when you're doing the preparation for it, do things sometimes you tweak as they go? Do you change a little thing here and there? Do something that should have been done has not been done, but it's the kind of play where if that happens, nobody notices anyway?
You know, once we open, we're going to open tonight, the show is kind of set, and then our stage management team is in charge of maintaining the show. Now, having said that, you know, the actors are so savvy that the show will deepen. It won't change. It's pretty much set, but it will deepen. It's actually one of the challenges of the show. It's easy for actors to get inventive, but these four are so disciplined that I'm sure that the show is going to stay in very good shape during the run. It'll deepen, but not change.
You know, I think one of the criticisms that people have sometimes of Drury Lane Oakbrook is that they wish that the plays would stay a little longer, basically. You know, Bill Osatek does a great job. Of course, old Mr. Tony DeSantis, who started this many years ago, he was from Beverly, as am I, and they used to caddy for him at Beverly Country Club. And, of course, his grandchildren now are part of the running of the theater. And I think that people sometimes, you know, they get to enjoying a show so much, they, geez, I wish we could maybe another week, and you know, you go on to the next one and so forth.
Yeah, you know, it's a very tricky thing for a producer to decide, right? Because they have a subscription model and they want to maximize the runs for the audience and certainly keep a sort of variety of things on stage. But, you know, there's a New Yorker in the cartoon, about, you know, the Fantastics, which finally closed after
100 years or something, right?
And it's a couple looking at the article about the fact that it closed it and says, oh, we missed the Fantastics. So, you know, there's always going to be, you know,
that's good. I like
mouth
that.
Around a show, and then, you know, you find out that it's gone, you know, which is one of the great reasons to become a subscriber. You get the tickets, you get it on the calendar, you know you've got that, you know you're going to make it and not miss the show.
Well, this is a comedy, of course, a great comedy. Do you also aspire to, or have you directed some musicals or dramatic plays and so forth?
I have, yeah. I have, and it's interesting that you say it's a comedy because we actually rehearsed it pretty seriously, which makes it, I think, funnier than if we had rehearsed it as a comedy. But, you know, it's one of the great things about working in the theater is that, you know, we're not 20 years with a company. We're working on new projects, different types of projects, Shakespeare, musicals, contemporary plays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the great privileges about working in the theaters that, you know, the sort of genre, the tone, the group that you're working with is changing all the time.
Who are some of the people you looked up to, David? Some of the actors and or directors or people who put great shows and great theater together. Who are some of the people you looked up to as mentors or somebody you'd like to aspire to?
Well, certainly Bill Osatek here at Drury Lane, the artistic director, has been a tremendous colleague and mentor. And then over the years, you know, Frank Galati and Tina Landau, these are all directors that people might not recognize their name, but would certainly know the productions that they worked on. So, and I certainly feel like any work that I do is now informed by my work with all of those folks.
Well, it's exciting. What's next up for David New?
Returning to the University of Chicago, where I teach in the Theater and Performance Studies program. So I'm just going to enjoy the rest of the summer and then back to classes in the fall.
Now, you have a new theater going on there.
Yeah, we do. Brand new art center, the Logan Art Center. We started having classes in there last spring quarter, and then we open it fully to for performance and things like that this fall.
That's exciting. That's exciting. Well, it's going to be a great run of the 39 Steps. Certainly, as usual, it'll be a great success, as everything is done out at Drury Lane Oakbrook, and I congratulate you on the success that it will be.
Thanks, Kevin. It's very kind of you, and thanks for having me on.
Mix a Hitchcock masterpiece with a juicy spy novel, add a dash of Monty Python, and you have The 39 Steps, a fast-paced whodunit for anyone who loves the magic of theater. This two-time Tony and Drama Desk Award-winning treat is packed with nonstop laughs over 140 zany characters played by a ridiculously talented cast of four, an on-stage plane crash, handcuffs, missing fingers, and some good old-fashioned romance. Drury Lane Theater, 100 Drury Lane, presents the Tony Award-winning Broadway and West End smash hit, The 39 Steps, running through August 26th. And on the line with us right now is the director of The 39 Steps, Mr. David New. David, I'm going to give a phone number if people would like tickets, 630-530-0111. I thank you for taking a little time and break a leg and continued success.
Hey, thanks so much, Kevin, and thanks in general for being an advocate for the theater.
I appreciate that. Thank you, David.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. David New, one of the great directors in the Chicagoland area, now directing the Tony Award-winning Broadway smash hit, The 39 Steps at Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook through August 26th. Again, for information, 630-530-0111. We're going to go back to Andrea Markovici's great new CD, Smile, and play It's Only a Paper Moon, the Harold Arlen Billy Rose composition, and we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. I never feel a thing is real when I'm away from you. Out of your embrace, the world's a temporary parking place. A bottle for a minute. You smile, the bubble has a rainbow in it. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. No, it wouldn't be make-believe if you feel so young. You make me feel that spring has sprung, and every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play a hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots forget me not, so you make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today. 'Cause you make me feel so young. Picking up lots of forget-me-nots, you make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flown. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do. What is that word? Young.
Andrea Markovici, her newest CD, Smile. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Had to throw that last one in there, You Make Me Feel So Young. So we had a great few songs from her CD, and certainly enjoy that as she comes to Chicago this coming week. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially like to thank Andrea Markovici, the greatest cabaret singers in America. She will be coming to Chicago at Davenport's Piano Bar from Wednesday, July 18th through Sunday, July 22nd. And Davenport's is located at 1383 North Milwaukee. For tickets, 773-278-1830. And showcasing her newest show and CD, Smile, before she takes it to New York. But you may be able to get some of those CDs at Davenport's this coming week. I was glad we were able to play some of her songs, especially Smile. It's a beautiful, beautiful song written by Charlie Chaplin. If I had you, it had to be you. It's only a paper moon. And finally, You Make Me Feel So Young. And David New, the director of the Tony Award-winning Broadway smash hit, The 39 Steps at Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook, through August 26th, to get some information about the 39 Steps. The number is 630-530-0111. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day and happy Bastille Day.
And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart. Time you hear her name. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows,
any luck than I suppose. The music, the music.